I ask my kids to wash their hands a lot. I mean, a lot. They are constantly outside playing in the dirt. I can never be sure what new specimen of bug they will have discovered or what particularly dirty pile of mud they might decide to play in. So, I ask them to wash their hands. I mean, especially before dinner time when they're going to eat and possibly use their hands to do so. And I think that you would probably agree with me that it's a good thing for us to wash our hands, especially before meals. It's sanitary, and health experts tell us that it helps to stop the spread of disease. So, we wash our hands. I mean, we even use special hand sanitizers to keep our hands germ-free. Sanitization is clearly something that is important to us as individuals and as a society. Not only do we clean our hands, we also clean our food. We wash our fruits and our vegetables to get all that residual dirt and chemicals off of them. We like to be clean, and we like to keep things clean. And we are very concerned that the things we eat and the things we touch be clean. However, in the first part of our reading this morning, Jesus seems to be less concerned about this than those around him. His focus is, as it ever is, with our intentions and with our hearts. Jesus is less concerned about keeping ancient purity laws and more focused on living God's commands. Jesus says, "It isn't the food that we eat that defiles us, but rather it is what comes out of our mouths which defiles us. For it is in the heart where evil desires take root and then flow outwards." Jesus asks us to be careful about what we say and how we say it, which is what makes the next part of the story so difficult to deal with. Jesus has just explained this parable, this teaching to the disciples. They have asked him for clarity, and he has said these words to them. He has said, "It isn't what you eat or how you eat it. It is what you say and what you do that matters. It is about what is in your heart, not empty gestures and following old laws or traditions out of a sense of duty." And so after teaching this lesson, Jesus travels with the disciples to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now this, so that we have some understanding, is a place that no self-respecting Israelite would travel to. It was the equivalent of going over to the other side of the tracks. We talk often about the Samaritans and the Jews, and they didn't get along. The same can be said here. And so while Jesus and the disciples are there, a Canaanite woman approaches Jesus and she begs for healing for her daughter. And Jesus ignores her. And now at the time, it would have been appropriate for Jesus to ignore this woman. I mean, one, it's a woman coming up to a man, which at the time was a social no-no. But the two cultures also weren't friendly, and the disciples were probably elated that Jesus ignored her. I mean, after that, the disciples say, "Can you get rid of her? She's making a racket. Like, please, Jesus, do something about this woman." But then it gets worse. Jesus says to this woman, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." To which the woman responds, "Lord, help me." And Jesus replies again, and this is where it gets nasty, isn't it? Jesus says, "It's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." That one hurts. Jesus calls this Canaanite woman a dog. Now, that's not a nice thing for me to say to any of you on any occasion or any given time. You don't expect your pastor to say that to you or to say that to someone I might meet on the street. However, it is definitely not something that we expect to hear from Jesus. His words here lead to all sorts of unpleasant possibilities. Now, many commentators and theologians will write that Jesus understood what his mission was, and he clearly states that. He was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. So Jesus understood his purpose, his mission. And that may be so. But of course, it leads us to other questions, which we can't fully get in at this time. But if that's true, why did he then remark on the faith of the centurion earlier on in Matthew's gospel if he's only sent to the lost sheep of Israel? I mean, yes, Jesus was there to proclaim to the Israelites that God was now fulfilling God's promise to the people, that God's kingdom was coming. However, does that excuse the way Jesus speaks to this woman? His willful ignoring her, and then the manner in which he speaks to her, his calling her a dog. We might find his words and his actions troubling at the best of times. But when we consider them in light of what Jesus himself said in the first part of our reading, I have to think that something else is going on here. And friends, I think this leaves us with a few things to consider. The first is, of course, the faith of the Canaanite woman that we need to contend with and look at. And then the second is these words and these actions of Jesus. What is going on here? Theologian N.T. Wright describes the Canaanite woman like this. The Canaanite woman does indeed have great faith. Not only does she clearly believe that Jesus can heal her stricken daughter, she addresses Jesus as Son of David, which was the Jewish messianic title. Most remarkably, she understands and uses to her advantage in banter with Jesus the way in which God's choice of Israel to be the promise-bearing people for the sake of the world was to work out in practice. Now, to make sense of that, we actually have to go all the way back to Abraham and God's initial promise to Abraham. In Genesis 12, God says to Abram, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse." And here's the key part. "And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." The Canaanite woman is saying to Jesus, "I understand all of this." Further, she has recognized that Jesus is the Messiah, and that the time for all people to be blessed is now at hand. She understands the message that Jesus has come to deliver. She understands that Jesus is that message. The Canaanite woman shows remarkable insight and courage for her comments and her faith. So, what about those words of Jesus? Jesus may well have understood his role as being called to the lost sheep of Israel. That was his mission. However, does it excuse his behavior? Does it excuse the way he spoke to that woman? I mean, today in Canada, we live in a society that is tolerant of all people, that accepts all people. We seek not to discriminate or harm others through words or actions. And I think for us today, it makes those words of Jesus really hard to swallow. How does loving, compassionate, forgiving Jesus say these words to that woman? And we've already covered the social context of the time, but we would think that the Son of God might have been above such petty indifferences. Well, friends, I think that this was Jesus selecting a particular way to teach the disciples and subsequently to also to teach us. And in composing his gospel, I think Matthew very shrewdly linked these two stories together. See, there is a form of rabbinic teaching which is to lead the student to the answer through conversation and action. Rather than simply telling a student the answer, you're required to puzzle it out. And I think that that is what is going on in this passage. Jesus is using his earlier teaching about purity laws, followed by his words to the Canaanite woman, to demonstrate a greater truth. Do I believe that Jesus felt his mission was to the lost sheep of Israel? Absolutely. However, as God's Son, Jesus was also aware of the covenant established with Israel. And it is that covenant which Jesus has come to fulfill. When Jesus says to the Canaanite woman, "It is not right to take the children's bread and feed it to the dogs," when he speaks those words, the disciples only hear what they want to hear. They have not fully grasped the implication or full extent of Jesus' ministry. And in our story, it is that Canaanite woman who pierces the veil. It is the outsider, which Jesus uses so often in his teaching. It is the outsider who demonstrates the truth, who understands the full implication and extent of Jesus' ministry. She understands what Jesus is hinting at. She understands who Jesus is and grasps at the fullness of the promise that Jesus offers. Her response to Jesus, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table," indicates that she understands this promise, that all nations, all peoples would come to be blessed through Jesus. And that is why Jesus says to her, "Woman, you have great faith." Not just because she knows who Jesus is, but because she understands his purpose. I do not believe for a moment, as some commentators will write, that Jesus was surprised, that Jesus was taught by this woman. Not that I don't think Jesus could be surprised, but I think that this was a teaching moment. And so, friends, we need to figure out what this means for us today in our own lives. The Canaanite woman recognized a promise that would be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. She had great faith. She saw a promise that God would fulfill. And rather than waiting for it to happen through prayer and faith, she reached out and she brought it into fruition. And her daughter was healed. So friends, I ask you, what are the promises that we see in our world today? Promises that we believe God will fulfill in time. What do we believe that God is going to do in this world? What are the issues that we face today in this community, this country, and indeed globally? Do we allow those issues to simply unfold for them to resolve in the fullness of time? Or do we, like that Canaanite woman, do we grasp that issue with great faith so that we might see it resolved now? Friends, are we willing to do that? Do we have that great faith? Are we willing to pray and work and pray to bring God's kingdom to life? The Canaanite woman saw Jesus and she believed it was possible. do we. Amen.